Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself, Mark Henry, Bully Ray, and Mickey James talk to Nick Nemeth, formerly Dolph Ziggler with the WWE, now working New Japan and where else. We talk about it right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Nick, after watching you at New Japan, I think we are seeing a newer, better version of Mr. Nick Nemeth. What do you think about that?
You based all of that on me wearing a suit? That's fine. No. I've had a very fortunate career. I was very lucky. Almost 20 straight years in one company. And now it's a chance just to see what else is out there and try a few other things out. So I hate sitting at home. I cannot stand it. Even in between WWE loops, 2 or 3 days, I start getting antsy. I want to get out of here. So the last 3, 6, 8, 10 months, I have been training twice a day, making all these different adjustments, just getting ready to go. Okay, at some point you go back to full on proving yourself all over again. And you better be ready to go and not just sitting at home sipping Mai Tais in the backyard, which I did for a little while. But still, it was be ready to go no matter what. So there's no issues. There's no people, oh, he's protected or he sat around loafing around. Nope. I did everything I can to be ready to go. And I'm still in the middle of it right now. I feel that I'm in the best shape of my life and not just how people say that, like, oh, yeah, I got divorced and I'm doing the best in my life ever. And you're crying in a corner. I was waiting for a moment to get going and make myself get slapped in the face again and go, remember the stuff you did all the time? You can't wait to do it now on a different stage. And man, I cannot wait.
Nick, the line in the song goes, I'm young, running free. I just want to concentrate on that word free for 1 second. How does it feel to be free of a company that you worked for so long? And when did that feeling of freedom hit you? Did it hit you the minute you hung up the phone with them, or did it hit you weeks or months later?
It's weird because I was preparing, you know, for the last 6, 8, 10 months going, at some point I have to make a change here. So as you get ready to go and you see that you don't have a chance to be in a pay-per-view match and steal the show. You don't have a chance to have a 6-minute match and steal the show. You have a match where at this point it's 3 minutes and you don't get an entrance on the show and everybody knows who's winning the match on the show. And you know, can I find a way to have that work? And then once that started happening, that even a couple of years ago, when Rude and I were tagging, we'd have 3 or 4 or 5 minute matches. So I was starting to think like, hey man, at some point I need to be back ready to go. Will my shape and stamina still be there? So I've been preparing for this so long and getting things ready to go that I wasn't like, what do I do now? Like, holy, I'm free or whatever. Like it was, I was planning this along for the half of this entire last contract with WWE going, I know at some point I am being paid way too much money to sit at home. So I'm going to have to get out of here. So I just wanted to always be ready to go just in case they said, hey, by the way, I know you've been doing 90-second matches. Can you do 35 minutes on TV with The Undertaker? You're damn right I can. So I was ready to go anyway. I just wanted to have every option available. And it's so it was so – it wasn't out of the blue, and it was – I had sent a few emails to the boss for the last 6 months definitively saying, I have to move on somewhere else. Can you let me do this? And eventually, without exact back and forth, that's how it worked out. So it wasn't weird because it was so 6 to 8, 10 months in place for me going, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Okay, great. Now I have 90 days of sitting around, which is going to break my heart, but I got to do it. And I'll just take up the extra workouts and everything like that.
Nick, we know who you are on this show. And there's very few people in the world of pro wrestling that you can plug and play against any talent from the top of the card to the greenest guy that you can imagine. And that's you. You're a master, a savant, an expert at your craft. And the ease... You and Randy Orton are the two easiest people I ever worked with, and on top and in the mid. Did you ever feel a sense of lack of confidence in the process?
Yeah, of course, and every man all the time. I think I'm on year 20 of, is everybody gonna find out that I'm a big phony and I don't know what the hell I'm doing, because you don't have that confidence sometimes. But every 3 or 4 years, I go back and go, man, I stole the show on this match, me and John Morrison. Oh man. And you go back and look at it and I go, I'm so embarrassed at like waiting somewhere and not waiting somewhere. And I'm watching me. And then 3 more years goes by, world champion, stealing shows. I go back and watch those 2, 3 years later and I go, oh my God, how could I be so bad at this? But it's, we're all our harshest critics. I totally understand that. But there is that day every couple of years without having to look back, where I would readjust and go, this is C minus work when I thought it was an A. And it just makes you keep going and going. Now, the last 6, 8 months, to where I'm not used to that 25, 30 minute match time, I started saying, can I still go? Can I do everything? And it's knowing that in your back pocket that everything that you worked up for is just slowly ready to go at all points and all times. And it helps when you have 18, 19 years, you have it in your back pocket that you can always just, when this situation arises, boom, I can go here. Somebody's shoulder came out of place in this match. Don't worry. I got it. We go here. And then you continue on and do things like that. It's almost like it's stand-up comedy. If you get 15,000 reps in, you start to have things in your back pocket. You start to figure out what the story that you're telling is, even if you lose the crowd for a second or something happens here. And it really is a unique set of skills that several people have. But I feel like I have been someone who, like you said, could be plugged in. There was no need to add Randy in here. He's getting his praises every effing day. So F him. So there was a thing where it's like, Jesus, everyone's like, you're so good, you're so good. And Randy, he's going to be just fine. So like, let's talk about me. Like, hey, you know what?
Randy, bring it back to me.
Yeah, come on. What the hell? I was like, hey, this is a great interview with you. Can you give me Randy's autograph? Like, that's fine. There is an extent where, of course, we all love him. I can't stand Randy. But like, we love how good he is at his job, and it like actually makes me very angry and also makes him very angry that I'm good at my job. So it's just, you find a way, like you forget sometimes when you're like, hey, I haven't won a match in 2.5 years. Am I good at this job? Why am I here? Why are these millions of dollars coming into my house for me to have a 30-second match? And you go, don't worry. There's a reason it's still there, because if something happens, you are always the break glass in case, and bring you in there. And it's happened several times in the past. I've been
Bully very said it
to make it happen.
Bully said that about you. You're the in case of emergency break glass guy.
Yeah. So I feel like the, especially the last 2, 3, 4 years, it was, I'm Ozzie Smith sitting on the bench. And if you need a shortstop, I save the game at shortstop. You need a closing pitcher to make it happen. If you need somebody to catch, if you need somebody in center field, and clearly I look like I can play all those positions too. So what do we
do? Do you?
Yeah, James. Yeah.
You know what this
I
is?
Do.
Oh, yes. My God.
Yes,
I've been
do.
Waiting my turn. I'm so happy to see you. I'm so excited for you, actually, because I obviously was there with you. Well, when I was there with you. And so I know, and I can understand how it feels to be like, feel like you're so damn good. And you've been good for a very, very long time. Like I would say that you're probably one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. I really believe that you're so good at what you do.
No doubt.
But I think you get a chance now. Every door is wide open for you, right? Like, so anything that you want to do, and then the potential to see all these matchups against different people out there, it's just going to be crazy. And I think the wrestling world is going to go nuts. And I'm excited for you. And I'm excited for you because, like when Bully said freedom, you now have the freedom to kind of do exactly what you want and to paint that picture exactly how you want to paint it. And now you have time to work more on your stand-up, you know? And if you
Why
need
do I need
jokes,
to work on it more, Mickey?
Well, because if you need jokes, I have so many, right?
No, that's
it don't waters. Work like that. Oh. That's going to be a part of his act now. That's going to be a part of the act.
Oh. No. James, I love you. I've known you for 20 years, and it's. I appreciate the nice thing you said, but it is true. It's like you can. I was just so used to. I didn't know independence before this. I came to WWE after wrestling in college. And so I've only known the system I've known. And it was like, and also you get a little spoiled, like, oh, you open an email and you go to the airport and everything's taken care of. So now it is an absolutely very much different thing. And it becomes you're working for yourself, but also you're picking your schedule. And yes, there's matchups out there and there's different things. And I go just from surprising everybody, I hope kept a great secret. I thought showing up in Japan and then, and that in a world where the internet is 99% negative, in a world where wrestling fans on the internet are 99.9% negative, I got very solid feedback. Not just like, hey, I like you or you suck. Like it was, hey, this is cool to see you in a different environment. Oh, I see. Now we can have this matchup. Maybe this thing can happen because of X and Y. And it makes you really want, you're like, man, you know what? I still have this. I feel like I'm 25 years old. I've had this unbelievable career, and I don't mean titles. I mean, I've missed like 3 weeks of work in 19 and a half years. And two of those weeks were just told, let's be careful and play it safe. So I have this insane, skin care routine, Mickey, as you know. And then also I'm somehow, my body is ready for this, I think because of the way I trained for college wrestling at Kent State and St. Ed's, that I have this stamina, I have the muscular structure to where somehow maybe that has really helped me stay healthy all these years also. And it's just so funny to me. And it's like, yeah, so many positive comments. It was so funny. And then it would just be like, man, Daniel Bryan, he's so good. He's like the best in the world. Dolph, 10 years ago, maybe he's probably washed up. And I go, I look like $1 million. I'm so good at like making things happen, no matter what, whether it's 2 minutes or 20 minutes. And I go, man, I don't care what other people say, but I'm really looking forward to going the things I do behind the scenes or in the ring that I have the last 20 years of WWE, bringing that to several different places. And maybe even as like a hired gun bouncing around and just saying, here's what I pitched to WWE 20 years ago for me to be the modern day Ric Flair who shows up in a territory and makes something happen and steals the show with their champ without even knowing who the hell he is and then moves on to the next town. So hopefully something like that, which I've been really looking forward to for a long time.
Yeah.
Nick, the only thing better than being great is proving it.
Damn.
You get the opportunity to tell a motherfucker to their face, follow that.
Yeah.
I'll see y'all at the next show. You haven't got to do that in a while.
It's been a while since I angrily came backstage and threw a chair and said, follow that, MFers. Yeah, but yeah.
Nick, the thing that sucks is I've seen you have those matches, those follow that matches, and it just fall on deaf ears. Back in the day, if you could have matches like Dolph had, you got pushed to the moon. But if they don't have the idea to push you to the moon now, you could have any. You could have your 5-star, 6-star match, and it doesn't matter. Nick, my real question was this: was it a dream of yours to work in Japan? And what was it like being in a Japanese locker room for the first time?
So two different ways. I was thinking about that for a long time, going different places for the last few years, especially focusing on like, hey, what do I want to do for the next move here? And that's been for a few years working on a plan. And I go, first and foremost, I've heard so many different things from Ambrose and all these different guys about how you need to see what this locker room's like. You need to see what it feels like to be there. And I go, man, I wonder if can I adapt to this? I feel like I can adapt to anything. Can I? So you do a little homework and you bounce around and you go, man, this would be something really special. One, I've made a career out of famously saying, I don't watch wrestling. I hate it. All these different things. And it's usually a joke, but I just hated what I was doing. You know, that you couldn't really critique it at home. So I go, I hate wrestling, blah, blah, blah. But then you get a moment where you go, I can, one, be a part of something special, but two, see in a completely different environment. Not just go to a different state and wrestle and go to a different company in the United States, to expand and go, I feel like I can do everything here. Now I'm going to start over other places. Can I start from the bottom or the middle and recreate it? Almost like a Twilight Zone where the guy wants to go back in time and go, can I remake my fortune? Can I remake my career on in a different level on a 2.0 scale? And I really thought after laying into, no, I don't watch wrestling, I don't care, I'm retired, that I feel like, and going above and beyond to secretly get to Japan and put this all in place and just getting there and walking into the locker room and knowing two or three faces, which really helped because I was really going somewhere. I brought my brother with me and where I didn't know people. I didn't know what was like, am I welcome in this locker room? Am I a scumbag to these guys? Am I someone who's okay? Can I earn my way into this locker room? What's the situation? And it was so weird, but fun because you see a couple of faces, you're like, oh, okay. And you feel like, okay, I'm kind of at home. I'm not accepted yet. How can I get accepted? What can I do to prove that I want to be here, not for myself, but to help, to make the show better, to make the company better, to make more eyes come on this. Can I help out? And you really start to think that you can, and you watch. And I really got to watch closely a lot of that entire card. And some of it from the front row, which was really fun. And just watching it in person, I go, okay, this is different. This is special. I can go with this. Oh, I can do something with this guy. This guy here, I go, oh, I could really see this aspect of me going here and maybe making things happen and walking. And since I was a surprise, I didn't get a chance to walk around in the arena a couple hours before. I go, whoa, this is a big effing deal. I was hidden in the back. And when my brother and I walked out, I went, oh my God, this is not just another level, a different situation. This is big. This is huge. And I got little shivers down the back of my neck here. And I went, man, this can be something so special. I'm gonna do what I can to make that happen.
You know, Nick, and by the way, that Twilight Zone episode you're talking about is from season
4. Is all of them.
But
no, go ahead.
but Nick, you know, one of the greatest moments I experienced as a fan was the night that you cashed in the Money in the Bank at the Brendan Byrne Arena at the Meadowlands.
Well, that's because you're a mark.
But and I always say I am. No, I am a mark. Sorry. You know,
I was going to say Ethan Mark, but I know the swearing rules.
But it's worked out for me. Too. I have the number one show on Sirius XM.
passive aggressive.
The number one pro wrestling show on the planet, Busted Open, is available 7 days a week by subscribing and downloading the Busted Open podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. Join me alongside two WWE Hall of Famers, Mark Henry and Bully Ray, the hardcore legend Tommy Dreamer, plus Thunder Rosa and Mickey James, all week long as we break down everything going on in and out of the ring. Listen to Busted Open right now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a wrestling fan, you know it's hard. All the blood, the sweat, the tears, the chairs. It's a hard day out there. And do you know what tastes incredible after a hard day in the ring? A Mike's Hard Lemonade. You get all hot and bothered, and then you can cool off with an ice cold hard lemonade. Since day one, Mike's Hard Lemonade has been making lemonade the hard way. They take three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked, from family farms and cold-press them to create a taste like no other. They choose to do things the hard way because they know hard days deserve a hard lemonade. That's why for 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Find now in store. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are influencers on the internet. Which means Tubi is more popular than sponsored posts for digestive enzymes and high coverage foundation. More popular than soft launching your boyfriend. More popular than making boomers explode with rage when you tell them how much you make on a single post. Tubi, it's more popular than influencers. See you in there.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code BUSTED50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BUSTED50 at factormeals.com/busted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Nick, you know, you had that moment. You cash in. You had 20,000 fans cheering for you when you were a heel, by the way, when you made that Money in the Bank cash in. Like, when was the transition that happened where you are that top guy and everybody's behind you to becoming, like you said, that utility player? When did that transition happen for you?
I'll make a joke here first. It didn't happen. It was, there's the moment, and then the first defense I lost. And that's, I'm not even referring to the title match, like just the first day back to wrestling, losing matches. So it wasn't there that way, but there is that aspect of it's real to me and others. And then sometimes it's even more real. And I never really talk about this part as much as that moment's awesome. I will never forget it. My entire body had shivers running down it, walking down to this match, because again, it happens to all of us to where you go, does anyone give a damn what I'm doing? Does this matter? I know in my head, oh, it's all I think about all day. Does anyone else give a damn about this guy who loses 95% of the time, is a bad guy, and is cashing in a chance to beat up a guy who is holding his leg and riling on the ground, who just wrestled an entire match? And you go, all these aspects make no sense. But in that moment, there was a time of, the crowd was what kept me going. And I think nobody mentions this ever. There's got to be a bunch of different times where even the office was probably like, okay, enough of teasing this guy. We got to move on and go to somewhere else. But the crowd would be cheering the heel in the match who's not doing cool shit and like making the baby look bad, but is getting his ass kicked. But to a point to where they know the work is there and they see the movement and the fluid motion and they know the story and they see everything that happens. They go, I know this is going to be a great match or a great moment. So because of that continued outburst from the crowd to where they're cheering heels on television, not heels, one heel. And it really, that the crowd did that. The crowd made that happen. They all talk about Daniel Bryan stuff. That's great. I didn't have a catchphrase, whatever. I don't want one. I don't care. There was this, they kept it going. Even if I was on TV for a couple of minutes that day or not having something special, the cheers and the response got me the chance to get the briefcase. And then to get a chance, I go, man, am I going to be the first guy that doesn't cash in or loses it? If I had a guess at that point, hell yeah, I'd be that guy. And then because of the special, I had a great chemistry with Del Rio, and we put together a beautiful 2.5 minutes that I'm so proud of, because knowing the ins and outs and behind the scenes work of WWE, I'm like, we can get these people drawn in. I can tell a story with him being injured and me being injured and me being someone who never gets a chance to go all the way to the top and become champ. I go, it was just this beautiful brewing story because of intermeshing, you know, reality and the television show that we're on. So it became this beautiful moment that I could never possibly forget. And as much as I say that I'm good and you guys are saying such nice things, the audience made that moment happen. And without them, it doesn't.
Nick, you mentioned your brother, and you also mentioned your college career. I've seen you multiple times use some of your amateur background, and you went away from it for a lot of years. Is there a chance that we'll get to see some of your amateur wrestling again?
Absolutely. Arn Anderson used to yell at me for not putting it in there enough. And I was always, it's this slippery slope of, I'm a shooter, what we call, because I wrestled grade school, high school, college, but also I was so focused on the sports entertainment aspect that I would be like, well, I don't want people to think of me as a wrestler. I'm trying to be a number one guy at WWE. So I would get away from it sometimes, but then Arn was so insistent on it. IRS too. So many different guys, Dean, so many different people would be like, it's what makes you stand out, especially when I'm a foot shorter than a lot of other guys, you can get some things in. And so that was on me for a few years. So I would make sure to incorporate it and make things stand out. And especially now, going to Japan, I really look forward to someone being able to retaliate that back to me and be able to go and make a different matches look differently than they would have in WWE, even like a Daniel Bryan style match. Like him and I had a bunch in WWE, but it would be very different in this aspect. But of course, in a non-negative way, several years of it was, well, we just lost 3 minutes in your 4 minute segment. Can you ditch all your shit? And they go, yeah, okay, let's get to the pro wrestling. So a lot of it was me forgetting that every once in a while, but several aspects was the last 5, 6, 7 years was, we have 90 seconds till break. We don't have time for your shit. So, okay, I'll make something else happen. But yes, man, I can't, like, I was looking for in that locker room in Japan going, who the hell can roll around here with me? And we could go and kind of crack each other in the face and try and make each other tap out. I look forward to it.
Oh my God.
That's exciting.
Like,
that's so exciting. I can understand how you feel. I know. And I can understand how you felt like disheartened, because you are very at the mercy of what is needed or what is wanted. But I think there's one thing that's always been undeniable, is that's your talent. And I think that's why the fans, when you say they pulled for you in that moment, but they still have pulled for you. And that's why they're so excited right now. Right. Because they know how good you are. And we know how good you are.
Yeah. It's wild, because so many ways you can find negativity in it. And I've been the luckiest guy in the world. I had almost 20 years at a company where so many ups with the downs. Now, everybody has the downs, but man, to have the ups and moments that I had, everybody goes, oh, you got screwed around. You're like, aren't you mad? Like, dude, I am the luckiest guy in the world. I'm so happy. And now going, I could be coming, getting out of WWE going, you know, my back really hurts. My shoulder's a little out. I don't know if I can really, like, no. I feel like I'm 25 years old and I'm looking forward to it so much that that last conversation that when Mark asked me a question, I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to fight this guy. I'm going to punch him in this. Like, it gets you so excited. One, because I've been sitting around not wrestling, which is killing me. But it's really a chance to go, hey, for the 1% of you who can't stand me, I'm going to show you that I'm good in a different way of this wrestling. So you got to have to learn to be mad about my haircut or something.
So Nick, I could ask you a question about the past or I can ask you one about the future. I'm going to go with the future on this one. Is there one guy in New Japan that you have now seen right in front of your own eyes? Or is there one guy in another company that you go, him, he's the guy I can make magic with and $1 million with?
I've been trying to look at that very closely for the last few months. And watching, especially when I was in Japan a few days ago, watching, there was a couple of tag teams there that I was impressed with also, but I've seen Ospreay wrestle before. I've seen Ambrose wrestle before, Moxley. And I had not seen Finlay. And I go, man, everyone to me seems like a young kid, seems like they're going after it. And I heard he's been there back and forth to Japan 8-9 years. And I go, I don't know what his work is like. Can this guy go? Can he do a thing? And I got to sit front row and watch a story play out with him and his partners, with the match, with teaming up in the match. And I went, this is a young guy who can go, who has the potential, who is a champion at the moment. And I really think there could be something there. I don't know. There's something missing at the moment, I think. But he is, I didn't know what the work was going to be like. And I went, all right, he can go. He knows when to make things happen. He can beat the hell out of somebody if he has to. He knows when to be out of place and out of mind when something else. I go, there's something there. And I go, there's a little bit of an attitude there too, which I really, really appreciate. Especially in the old days, they used to tell us, go out there and step on some toes. And then I'd come back to grill and they go, whoa, not those toes. And with this, you get to see, oh, this kid's trying to make something happen. Man, I want to smack the look off of his face. And it's not just there. Like I said, I've been watching forever. And I'm just, when it comes to younger guys or whether they're younger or not, I watched a little bit of TNA and I see Moose moving around and I go, man, this guy played football. This, he can do this. I'm like, man, why is that not a household name? And then I watch a little bit of WWE and I'm watching NXT and I go, oh, I remember seeing this kid when I was there for my 6 weeks working hard. Oh, he's standing out like this. And you go, man. And I was very fortunate to work with Steiner. And I go, that was one of the few kids that I was already in the ring with. And I went, man, this is going to be fun when they pull the trigger with this guy. And that is coming from a bitter guy who walks in like, who's here to take my spot? Like, oh, this guy. And I loved when I got just a few minutes in there with Steiner before we got to our story, before we got to the wrestling. And I go, I love where this kid's head is at. And I want to work with him so he can make a bunch of money. And you don't see that with a ton of people, but I was very fortunate to see several this weekend that I went, man, there is some money there. And they're already making money, but it just, to me, an outsider going, man, I can do something with this person here. It's beautiful.
Dolph, I've never seen you have a bad match. In your opinion, have you ever had a bad match?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Bullshit. I don't believe you. I don't believe
Hornswoggle.
That. You
I bet you Hornswoggle was involved.
You've never had a bad match.
No, it's I appreciate that very much.
It's not smoke blowing either. It's legitimate. I wouldn't blow smoke up your ass. You know that.
I believe that very much. But
you tell me, give me a bad match.
I don't want to see that.
Give me an example of a bad match. I'm not asking you to throw anybody under the bus. Just tell me about the time you had a match where things didn't go so well.
Yeah. And it's, I wouldn't even say, because there's fun ones like, oh, not fun ones, or somebody gets hurt, but something weird happens, or you're, a crazy moment happens and you have to work around it, I thrive on that. I wouldn't count that. I'd be like, oh, I made something happen improv style here because this person's shoulder blew out 4 minutes into a 22-minute pay-per-view match. And then there's different ways, but there are, man, there are some matches to where, and one, it's when I go back and look a few years later, like, oh my God, I look like I'm an amateur, but you know that you're just like, oh, I needed to learn that I needed to lay down and stay out of the way there for a second. Okay, I got it. But then there are some matches where, well, you know what? You know what's a really fun one? I just remembered me and another person that is on this Zoom call. We're in a multi-man match, if you can imagine. And things didn't go exactly how they should have. And I believe I'm really bad. I think Wade Barrett threw me into Mark Henry's pod at the Elimination Chamber. And I went and it exploded the door. And I think we're even in Texas too, to make it even a bigger deal for Mark. And Mark is standing there and they, and he is not supposed to come out for three more people. So Wade throws me and it breaks. It's not supposed to, it wasn't a plant spot. And I'm laying there with like broken plastic on the ground. And I just hear the crowds come up and just start rumbling for Mark. And I go, oh my God, he's not supposed to be out here for 20 more minutes. And I'm like, what the hell are we going to do? And I'm like, don't come out. Don't come out. And you can't hear me over the roar of the crowd who's chanting for Mark to get in the ring. And then I'm laying on the ground and I just see a boot go past me and I go, oh no, what are we going to do? And we had the craziest improv on the fly 15-minute match with six guys that is some crazy ass shit. I got to a point where I'm trying to call a match on the fly for six different people where you can't talk to them and the camera has to be on you at all times. So I got to a point where I think I told, it's not Ryback. Is Ryback in this match? I'm really bad. Anyway, I told Ryback, take everybody's head off, put me up in a suplex. He's holding me up in a suplex. And I tell the referee to come over. I go, hold me in a stalling suplex. I call a spot to tell this guy to do this, tell this guy to do this, and tell this guy to stay the fuck down. All right, give me the suplex. Boom, puts me down. Somebody else, Mark, clean house, and then we're all gonna beat you up, and you stay down. Okay, great. Somebody else, and I think I either get to another Ryback stalling suplex or some other thing where I go, okay, after 8 minutes, we now all have our orders. There's no way this is gonna be great, but I think we can improv the rest of this match and make it all go down. And that was some of the most exciting 12 minutes of my life in a terrible, terrible match. But it also, like, it was funny because you never know what's going to happen, man. And you got to be ready to go.
So your worst match ever involved Mark Henry. I love it.
Wow.
And he's not the only one that had one.
I think the worst part about it was that Ryback one.
But, how dare you besmirch Ryback's name?
But Dolph, does it get to the
wrong
point?
Wrong show, like Dolph.
But Dolph.
You're on the Dolph, wrong program.
Does it get to that point, though? Like, if that was anybody else, there'd be pats on the back and, like, way to goes. But because that's you, it's like they almost expect that from you because you're so damn good.
A little bit of both. And there's no world where I'm taking all the credit here. I'm just telling you my experience for a couple of minutes in there. We all worked together as a team and had to relay messages to each other and run through the ref, all these different things. I'm just telling you my aspect of it, but it was, you got to the back and they're like, hey, thanks for putting that together or making it all work out. And Mark was really great because Mark was like, hey, that all hell went loose and we made that all work. And thanks for, you know, not ruining the match. And I was like, hey, absolutely. Yes, sir. But it is even in that match where so many moving parts, it was like, yeah, that's why you're in the match. And you go, I'm not someone who needs the pat on the back. And I think I got so used to not getting the pat on the back for 20 years that you go, oh, that's why I'm Ozzie Smith. That's why I'm here. Okay. I got it. You know?
Well, Nick, appreciate the time. I know we went long. Thank you for everything. Again, looking forward to what you do in New Japan. Looking forward to what you do in Puerto Rico with the WWC as well. I mean, this is such a great opportunity for you and a great time for you. So can't wait to see what the next step is going to bring in your career.
And just announced in Australia.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, James.
You're going worldwide, bro. Oh, yeah, is that why it's a world tour t-shirt today? You're well, going with the world tour.
Rap is crap world
rap
tour.
Rap is crap 99. With a gallon.
WCW? I think that's the show that I went to watch that you were on and you wouldn't sign my autograph. So, anyway, I forget about that, but that's not important,
You're
James.
Still holding on to that. I'm just asking why you were drinking a gallon of cranberry juice. Anyway.
Well, I'll make it really quick. Thank you for that. But Vicky snubbed me as a fan, my very first show that I went to as a fan to watch a Cleveland All Pro Wrestling. And she was like, oh, I don't have time for your autograph or something like that. And then
I did not.
Like, she flipped her hair and walked away. Anyway.
You hair flipped him?
Wow.
He remembers this a whole different way.
I guess some people are just better than others or think they are.
Wow. And then I met him at OVW and we've been friends ever since.
No, I love Mickey. I'm just joking. Oh, that didn't really happen, but I did go to a show and she was there and I did not get an autograph. I'll just leave it at that. But
I blew him off.
I want to do a real tiny thing. My brother worked really hard on this mini zombie film that Maggie Levin directed. And it was the funnest, coolest thing we ever did, trying to make an action hero zombie movie about me going to start wrestling around the world. And I am so proud of everybody worked so hard on it. And we're releasing it on Instagram today, the full movie. And I just full movie. It's 4 minutes. It was a mini short, but like it, man, it was so fun and so cool. And I just wanted to go, hey, not only am I going to bounce around the world and go try to steal the show and do everything I've been doing my whole life, there's this badass movie that we just made together just to let everybody know, let alone whatever else is coming soon. So I'm looking forward to it so much. And most importantly, the Browns on Saturday. I'm trying to get tickets to go see them. Wild card game. See them beat up the Texans.
Just walk up.
Sure. Like you don't have
just
the walk money.
Up. Yeah, just let them know. You don't.
Yeah, just
them,
walk up
them.
To the loading dock and tell them who you are.
I mean, nobody
I'm
else
like,
is trying
I
to go to that
Mickey
game.
James.
So
I'll flip my hair and they'll just let me walk in.
Wait a second.
Any comedy shows coming up?
So my brother and I are working on another mini tour. Like every couple of months, we'll put together a couple different shows. We just, a company just asked to like start making them for us. So we're picking up some cities. Before Christmas, we did Chicago, LA. So we'll bounce around where there's like an AEW pay-per-view or a WWE one. But, I wanted to take a few months to, for the first time, I like just focus on wrestling. I want to be in that shape that you can't get in unless you're wrestling in. And I haven't been wrestling. For a couple of months. So I'm focused on that for 6-7 months and then I can relax here a day or two.
Well, Nick, I'm sure our boss, big boss man, Eddie Brasilli can get you those tickets for the Browns game.
I'm
going to start working on that right now as soon as this show is over. But Nick, thank you so much for the time. We truly appreciate it. And like I said, can't wait to see what's next because there's a lot on the table here. So thank you so much for the time, Nick.
There's a lot coming. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate your show and what you guys do for professional wrestling.
Even though
you
called me a Mark.
I was going to say an effing Mark, but like that, I didn't know the rules about swearing. But now I know.
Now you can say fuck, shit, whatever you want, Nick. Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Stop punishing yourself with bland, chalky protein shakes and fuel your fitness with the best protein in the game at GNC. We've got the hottest brands and flavors that legit taste like cookies, your favorite cereal, indulgent desserts, and more. It's on at GNC.